When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up? This is Sully from Godsmack. Strap on those boots, baby, because you are now in the trenches of the war room with the one and only Mistress Carrie right here on the Mistress Carrie podcast.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie.
Her hair is so lovely. With the eyes.
Hey, this is Brent from Shinedown, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie. Hey, Carrie, go put your bra on, girl.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you'll be listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carrie.
What's up? This is Aaron from Stain, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, and you're listening to the one, the only, Mistress Carrie.
Hey, this is David from the band Disturbed, and you're listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carrie.
Hi, Bruce Dickinson here from Iron Maiden. Yes, indeed, Miss Whiplash herself, Mrs. Carrie, is here to unchain your brain.
Hi, this is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're listening to Mistress Carrie.
This is Dennis Leary. You are listening to my favorite, Mistress Carrie.
Hey, this is Corey from Stone Sour, and you're listening to, you have the privilege of listening to Mistress Carrie.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, reporting for duty from MCHQ for episode 204 of the Mistress Carrie podcast. And before we get to this week's guest, Sunny Sandoval from POD, I just want to remind you about all of the cool new merch that you can find in the online shop at mistresscarrie.com. New pullover hoodies, three-quarter sleeve old school jerseys, baby onesies, roll-up blankets, and so much more. Just log on to mistresscarrie.com and click shop. Sunny Sandoval is the lead singer from POD, and as the band releases their latest album, Veritas, this Friday, they are also heading back out on the road. They'll be at the Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut coming up on May 18th with Mudvayne. I sat down with Sunny, who I have known for decades. We talked about coffee and the resurgence of nu metal, 90s fashion, the power of the Ozfest in MTV, being in a band, releasing an album on 9/11, his faith, Sunny Sandoval Day in San Diego, the impact of women in rock, collaborating with Tatiana from Ginger on the band's new album, touring, and so much more. I have known Sunny for decades, and I am so happy that he is finally on the show. So allow me to introduce you to Sunny Sandoval from POD. Oh my goodness, Sunny awesome. Sandoval on the show.
Hey.
I feel like it's been forever since I've seen you.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I love it when everybody comes on and has coffee with me. Cheers. How do you take yours?
I wish I was mad enough to say all black, but I can't. I like fun coffee. So whatever, you know, little cool creamers they have for the season or whatever, you know, something just to sweeten it up a little bit.
Yeah, you like a little flavor in there. That's it. Doesn't make you not manly.
Always. Always flavor.
Your coffee doesn't have to put more hair on your chest. You're allowed to enjoy it, and it's delicious.
That's right. That's right. Kind of like a dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Are you home right now? Or are you in California?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got back from England last week, and so we're getting ready to head out on tour at the end of April.
I saw you and some of the footage of you guys up on stage with the guys in Skindred, who I love.
Yeah, amazing. They're just killing it right there in the UK right now. It's like insane. This whole like resurgence of Skindred music over there in England, and it was a beautiful thing. And it's always nice to catch up with those guys. We've known them for so long.
Well, I was excited to talk to you for a lot of reasons. One, I haven't seen you in so long. We follow each other on social media, so I'm always seeing what you're posting. But two, we kind of came up together in our careers. And now that new metal era of music is all new again.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That it's having this massive resurgence. And for the bands that have been fortunate enough to continue to stay together, tour, work on new music, like POD, you're now getting this whole other generation of POD fans because the kids, the people that grew up listening to you guys are coming to the shows now.
Yeah, the kids had kids. And now, and now they're playing our style of music for their kids. So it's nice, you know. I mean, we never really, when we were doing it, we didn't think new metal or anything like that. It was just more of a lifestyle music, you know. And then, but there's nothing new under the sun. It always comes back around. And then, you know, you get the next generation of kids that are like, oh my gosh, I love baggy pants. You know what I mean? I love this. I love that. And it's like, thinking that they're creating something new, you know what I mean? And then they see old pictures of us with these ridiculous baggy pants and, you know, sagging our jeans or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay. But they still think they started it, you know?
I went to Target recently just to like pick up whatever I needed to get at Target. And I went into the women's clothing section and I was like, oh my God, I wore all of this in the 90s. And it's all back. And now I'm like, I got to go through my closet. Do I still have any of that stuff? And still fit into it? It's crazy.
No, if you had it, you'd be selling it, because even my son, he's just like, you know, he's telling me about JNCO jeans and I'm what, you know, but they're like 500, 600 bucks online. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. We threw all that stuff out years ago. You know? Once it wasn't cool anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because, you know, when grunge hit in the early 90s, it made that 80s metal stuff instantly not cool. And I've talked to, you know, all of those bands, Dee Snider and all of those guys in the 80s, that they just said one day they woke up and what they did wasn't cool anymore. And it was overnight. And then grunge kind of had this massive peak, and then as it started to fade out in the mid to late 90s, and music was taken over by that wave of quote unquote new metal, and then guys like Fred Durst, you know, became a punchline for a long time. Did you see the footage of him in Argentina last week in front of 100,000 people playing break stuff?
Insane. Yeah, I think, I mean, with Limp Bizkit, you know, they went to levels and heights that were just insane. You know what I mean? And so it's at some point, whether you want to or not, you cross over into that Hollywood world and it's not real. You know what I mean? I think with like before an 80s hair metal and stuff, I mean, I was never really into that. And then when grunge came, it was more real to me. It was more street, you know what I mean? It was lifestyle. And new metal came in and same thing. It was more, everybody sounded like their own and where they're from. And, but then the moment it gets popular, then you have people trying to duplicate it. And like anything else, it wears its welcome out, you know, and everybody's like, I'm not really feeling that anymore. Or I really don't like rap too much. You know what I mean? Or I don't like punk or hardcore. I like more just metal. And so, you know, it goes through its waves. But then, you know, when, like we said, another generation comes in and it's like, no, I think that's cool, because it's not like hip hop has died off or, you know, reggae music is bigger than it's ever been. You know, it's so, I think these kids are just, they're just starting to recognize and realize that there's all these great musics. And hey, man, these guys in this season, you know, they were about all of that stuff and they put it together. So it's cool to see. You know,
you said that you didn't grow up listening to a lot of that like 80s metal stuff. I have a theory about music, that there's the soundtrack to your childhood, the music that you heard from your parents, your older siblings, the cool uncle. And then one day you hear something, a song, an album, an artist, and you make the decision that that's what you like. And then everything in your musical identity is different after that. So go back to the soundtrack of your childhood. What was it that you heard growing up? And then what was that song, artist, album that you decided, okay, I like that now?
I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up to young parents, and they were into the AC/DCs of the world. You know what I mean? Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin. And so I grew up around that and them spinning their vinyls, and, you know, and it was amazing. I love all of that music. But then when I discovered like hip hop music and reggae music, to me, it was more street. It was more conscious. I felt like they were saying something. And so I paid attention to that. And then I still loved all like the, you know, certain punk stuff that I would hear. But in my mind, when I thought of punk rock, I thought of like Sex Pistols from England. Like I thought of this white British punk that or punk music that I was like, I can't relate to that. You know, first of all, I'm not from England. You know, I'm not even though my skin is pale, I'm not a normal Western, you know, Americanized Caucasian man. You know what I mean? I'm from the hood and all different colors. And so it's almost like you think you can't listen to that. It's just not my thing. I can't relate to that. But then when I first discovered like Suicidal Tendencies, and I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. You know, they got a Mexican guy, you got this black guy on guitar. They're, you know, they're from Venice, similar to my streets. I can dig this, right? And you start paying attention to it. And then when I heard the Bad Brains, and it was like, wait a minute, four black guys in this so-called punk music. What am I missing here? You know what I mean? So it just opened up this whole new world to me that said, wait a minute, if these four black guys from DC are playing this quote unquote white English music, you know, in my mind, it was like, wait a minute, no, this is everybody's music and they know something that I don't. And then the whole Pandora's box unlocked, you know what I mean? And you started listening. I remember listening to Fear, and then you like Minor Threat and all these hardcore bands and 7 Seconds. And it's like Fugazi, all this stuff started coming in, and you're like, oh, everybody's got a little bit of their own style and vibe. It's not just this straight, you know, like I said, again, Sex Pistols, punk rock. It's a lifestyle punk rock. And then you find out and discover there's scenes all over the world that these people are living this way. And it's like, this is amazing, you know? And it's just, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It was a total opposite for me growing up, the white girl in the suburbs of Boston, right?
Yeah.
that I needed the bridge to hip hop. Because it didn't mm-hmm. speak to me because I didn't understand it. It wasn't like, yeah. I grew up listening to metal and rock mm-hmm. music. And I'm honored to call Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC a friend. And he's one of those people that bridged hip hop for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it it wasn't my music. And you know, the Beastie Boys and Run DMC.
Uh-huh.
And Anthrax and Public Enemy and all of those things that bridge those music styles together.
Yes.
That's what invited me to the party that I didn't feel like spoke to me at first.
100%. 100%. And I discovered I discovered New York hip hop. You know what I mean? And it was like, this is amazing. But then you're right. When Anthrax and those guys did all that, and Errol Smith and Run DMC, you know, Public Enemy, you're like, wait a minute, like these are two worlds clashing together. And it's like, I don't want to miss the boat on this one. I want to know what's going on, you know, because like I said, the same thing, even for like, it was lifestyle music. You know, you had Anthrax and you had these that they were in this, that's their street music, you know, and then you have hip hop. This is street music and we're blending it together. And so, you know, but I think now, you know, everything again comes back around and evolves, and then you have different stuff. You know, I just don't want everything to go Hollywood again. Like, that's what I loved about grunge and nu metal. That's what I love about punk and hardcore. You know, it's to me, it's lifestyle music. It's not just a certain age group or, you know, a passing phase when you're this age. It's you embrace it. You know, now sometimes I think we're just force fed whatever. And it's like we're told we have to listen to this or that. And it's like, no, go discover for yourself. I mean, that's the one beautiful thing about Google and, you know, internet. Now you can deep dive for forever, you know.
Well,
you don't have to go to a record store anymore.
Rock is dead, obviously, because they've been saying that to us for 30 years now. Rock is dead. And sometimes it does need to kind of go back into the ground for the zombie to come up out of the grave again, different.
Yeah, good. That's perfect. Yeah, yeah. Well said. Well said.
You and I had our careers really kind of start right around the same time that we hit these heights at the same time. And I know for me, starting my radio career on a station like WAF in Boston back in the day, you know, it's kind of like getting shot out of a cannon. The same kind of thing happened to you guys where all of a sudden one day POD is here and the next day it seemed like overnight POD was in another stratosphere. Is that what it felt like for you?
Most definitely. I mean, we were independent for 7 years, you know, so it's always been a slow climb I don't think we would have it any different way. You know what I mean? We learned so much as we went. We appreciate everything that we have. And when we finally signed to Atlantic and then released Fundamental, it was this grind. You know, we were able to jump on it's like we went from the underground world to the semi-mainstream, you know, and then we get on Ozfest and that's a whole new world. You know, it's not like we went from starting a band and then you're on Ozfest. That was like, we could have died there. You know what I mean? It was over for us. If it all ended there, it would have been fine. You know, we reached the top of the mountain. But then when our record, you know, got some MTV love, it was different. But I think MTV exposed kind of who POD was. You know, they were so used to still this mainstream, you know, the pop world. And even when Korn and Limp Bizkit came in, you know, they were, as much as I love those bands, they're still different than POD. I still look at them and I still think like, very entertaining, you know what I mean? Very, I don't want to say Hollywood in a disrespectful way, but I think they capitalized on all that stuff. I think Fred capitalized on all that stuff. It was like, you don't like me? It's like, dude, I'm going to stay in your face and I'm going to push the boundaries, you know? And that's kind of some Hollywood tactics, you know what I mean? I think when people finally saw POD, it was like, no, these are the most normal dudes in the world. They're from the hood. That, you know, where's San Diego? What's San Diego about? And it's like, these guys are what they're singing about. These guys are the lifestyle. They are what they look like. And so it was just more interesting. It's the same way I feel like it was when I discovered Suicidal Tendencies or Bad Brains. I was like, I want to know who these guys are. And people really took an interest to us. And then when Satellite came out on 9/11, that was a whole new world. Because at that point, you know, it wasn't the entertainment of rock and roll and metal anymore. It was like, wait a minute, you know, POD's in that metal world, but they have something to say. And so that's what really, you know, allowed us to stand outside of the whole music thing. It was deeper than that. It wasn't just, nobody wanted to be entertained on 9/11, if that makes sense, you know? So for a moment, those things didn't matter. And I believe that was a good thing. You know, because as Americans and even as in the world in general, we were looking for answers. And all of a sudden, it wasn't an entertainment world. It was like, no, this is real life. It's life or death. It's eternity. It's, you know, do you believe in God? Don't you believe in God? What do you? Let's ask some hard questions. You know, and so POD was in that gap. And at the time, we had a song that was number one, and it was called Alive. So it just, you know, it was just such a cool moment for music. And so that allowed POD to shine and people to ask the right questions. And it gave us a whole new life.
We had to learn how to do our jobs completely differently because I was on the air on 9/11.
Yeah.
And
100%.
You can't go from playing
certain things.
Yeah. You go from, you know, telling dick jokes and being on the air and like, you know, Limp Bizkit records, and then all of a sudden you're a news journalist trying to explain to your audience what's going on. And I'm like, this isn't what I do, but we had to figure it out really freaking quick.
Right, right. And it's, you had to figure it out and be careful, you know, but yeah. And then today is a whole different world. I'm sure you have to figure out everything, trying to watch what you say. You know, it's like before you were, you know, you kind of, you made your career off of being real, you know, and being honest and being funny and being transparent and vulnerable. Now it's like you say something and you're, oh no, you're done. We don't want to hear from you anymore. And it's like, That's a whole nother world.
Yeah, especially when it's something like a podcast where, you know, it's one thing to say something on the air and it goes out and it's gone. But when it's
right.
a podcast and it's everywhere and it's forever.
Yes. It lives forever. Yeah.
You can't say to your boss, I didn't say fuck on the radio and get away with
it. Yeah. Well, there's just no more grace. You know, there's no more like, hey, like, I'm sure your intentions are good. My intentions are good. It's like, let's love each other. You don't have to always agree. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're human, I'm human, you know, and I respect your opinion as long as you respect mine. There's none of that. It's like, if you don't think the way I do and you don't feel the way I do, then you're my enemy. And it's like, that's a scary place to be. So hopefully that's going to change soon. Maybe that's one of those things maybe love will come back around in full circle again.
I hope so.
We'll be like, love, yeah, yeah. The hippie movement, everybody, we love everybody.
One of the things I've always been envious of when it comes to you guys is that you have always been so transparent and so open and accepting, but still staying true to yourselves and your faith. And I say that because I am not the kind of person that faith comes easily to.
Right,
my experiences growing up in faith-based situations were not positive. And so I didn't grow up with that kind of peace that it seems to bring you and the guys in the band.
Yeah, it's supposed to bring, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And so I always look at people with a little bit of envy that it seems to come easily for you and it doesn't come easily for me.
Well, that's fun. It's interesting you said envy because most people they're pissed off about it. They're pissed off that someone else can find peace and they can't. But I think sometimes, you know, it's not that you're looking in the wrong direction. Sometimes it's just you get bombarded by the wrong direction. And for me, I didn't grow up that way. And so it was real. It was through the passing of my mother. You know, it was through recognizing my circumstances, even in my neighborhood. Like, okay, I could sell drugs. I could join a gang. What else can I do? Music is a savior of my life. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was kind of thrown my way, but when my mom passed away, it was a real thing. And so, you know, the moment you can learn to separate who God is from the institution of church and Christianity, like, you know, unfortunately it's a mess, but even the Bible says that the church is a mess. But that's not God. That's people trying to interpret who they think God is, or that's people creating a business, or that's people creating, you know, they're using God's word to get what they want. And God frowns upon that. He loves us, but he's saying, that's not, man, you're lying to the people. That's not who I am. But some people can't get past that institution of church and religion. They can't get past it because of old trauma and old scars. But the moment you can put that away and say, no, I need to know who God is. Like, and also you have to say, you know what? I'm not going to let you tell me who God is. I'm not going to let some guy in the pulpit tell me who God is. No disrespect to him, but he's a man just like me. So if I want to know who God is, I have to go to him with a broken heart, you know, and an open heart. I have to read his word and I have to see who he is and surround myself with people that are on the same journey. If you're just surrounding yourself with religious people, man, they'll take you on a whole nother path. And a lot of times that path is just a path of bitterness. It's a path of regret, you know? And so I've learned to separate that and I've learned to see God for who he is and not, I don't let anybody tell me who God is.
That path is also a little difficult to navigate as a woman too.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot told to you how I'm supposed to act, what I'm supposed to do. And that was a lot of the reason why growing up, you know, being a woman growing up in the, you know, 70s and 80s with this generation of moms who were strong and empowered and told us to ask questions and be independent. Mm-hmm. And so when we started to ask those questions in a in a religious sense,
yeah,
those questions were not welcome.
Right. But see, that doesn't make it, that doesn't make you wrong. You know what I mean? That's the system. Same thing. I have two daughters and then a son. My wife is the strongest woman I know. You know what I mean? I would never stop them from being who they are, you know? So, but that's the same thing. That's a man, a religious man trying to tell you your place. But when you read the word of God, you see how Jesus was with women and how, what a strong impact and what it, he chose women. He chose women. I mean, it was women that first seen Jesus when he raised from the grave. Like, God chose that. He didn't choose a bunch of goofy men to go and discover him. It was women that discovered him. You know, it was the women that Jesus allowed to kind of head up their ministry. And you see all these things that women didn't. So Jesus was like, no, these girls are the bomb, you know what I mean? But then as religious men, we try to keep them in a certain place. And that's, again, but that will always happen. You're always going to be manipulated until you know for yourself, you know? So you were right in doing that. It's just, okay, now who does God say that I am, you know? And that's the answer. When you find out who God says you are, then, oh, that's power beyond.
Being someone where faith doesn't come easily, what I try to do is I try to speak through my actions, volunteer work, mm-hmm. charity work, those kinds of things, which is something
that's
you
right.
do so much of, to the point where weren't you given the key to your hometown? Like, what was that like for you?
Not the key yet. Yeah. Not the key yet. But they did June 23rd, which is my mother's birthday. They made June 23rd Sunny Sandoval Day in the city and the county of San Diego. So that was mind blowing. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that one. But like you said, it was more just recognizing your accomplishments. It's recognizing your heart and soul, you know, for a lot of the stuff that I do in the community. And it's just, that's a beautiful thing. When I bawled my eyes out when they told me I was actually doing a fundraiser for my buddy and his family whose wife has cancer, and then we raised a bunch of money for their bills and stuff. And so I put together a little show, community show, and we had a blast. And then all of a sudden they get up on stage and present me with Sunny Sandoval Day. And I was like, they just flipped it on me, you know, and caught me off guard. And here I am crying in front of this whole crowd, you know, but it was a beautiful thing. And I love my city. You know, if anybody knows POD, they know where we're from. They know what we're about. And, you know, I'm a proud San Diegan.
I had Mistress Carrie Day on April 17th of 2018. And they got me on the air.
That's beautiful.
And everybody walked in the studio with the certificate. And I was like, there's a Mistress Carrie Day in Boston? Like, what?
That's great. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, it's a good thing to be recognized by your, you know, the people around you and your city. And like you said, and we'll get off the religious conversation, but it is about your actions, you know, and be, aside everything these religious people say, you know, before Jesus was crucified and he sat down and had the Last Supper, we see that picture, the Last Supper with the disciples. He even tells them, he says, you know what, man, you guys, he knew who they were. And he said, you're probably going to forget all the stuff that I did and who I am. But just if you can remember one thing, just don't forget this. And he just breaks it down as simple as possible. He says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love each other like you love yourself. And because myself is number one, yourself is number one. And this is a selfish world. Now imagine if we treated everyone else like we treat ourselves. All of a sudden there would be no wars. There would be no, you know, a billion different religions. There wouldn't be these hierarchies. It would just say, no, you are before me. I need to take care of you first. And that's like, if we could follow that philosophy, oh man, we live in a whole different world, you know? So it is about your actions. And I'd rather have you be a man or woman of action than talk. I'm sick of the talkers. And a lot of times that's how I relate religion. You're just talking, man. All you're doing is talking. I don't see no action. Until you show me action, your words mean absolutely nothing.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because, you know, you and I have known each other a really long time. And while we don't share the same beliefs on everything, one of the things I love about you guys is that you come from a place of inclusion and happiness. And when you go to a POD show, regardless of where you come from or what you believe, you feel like you belong.
Yeah.
And that's 100%. A really special thing. And that music can do that, and that the band does that.
Well, that's what music is supposed to do. And that's why I said, to me, music, the last thing it does is entertain me. I mean, it's great when it does entertain me, but that's the last thing. You know, I go away when I listen to music. You know, I go away when I see someone play guitar or sing. It's like, it just takes me to a whole different dimension, you know, and it's supposed to do that. Music has that power. So you also have a responsibility to use it the right way.
Is there an artist or an album that you can go to for every emotion, every mood, happy, sad, depressed, angry? Is there one record or one artist that you can turn to that you know, no matter how you're feeling, that music has a song for you?
Oh, man. There's so many. Again, that's the beauty of music. But when I do think of like my childhood, or at least like junior high era, when the U2 Joshua Tree album came out, I think it was just my surroundings at the time. You know, it was my dad who showed it to me, and my, I don't even remember my mom and dad being together, you know what I mean, as a kid, but just when he would pick me up and we'd have visits, and he would always show me different music aside from the AC/DC's, the Led Zeppelin. He's the one who introduced me to reggae music and more soulful music. And when he showed me U2, I mean, I knew U2 because of Sunday Bloody Sunday. I remember the video and everything. And I was like, oh, these guys. Okay, I like these guys. But when Joshua Tree came out, there was just something about it. And even now, if you throw it on from beginning to end, it just takes you through kind of a wave of emotions, you know. And it could be just me because of that time when I heard it, you know. But I can throw it on now and just still get emotional, you know. So it's U2, obviously the you know, Bob Marley, certain records when I listen to Bob Marley, just those, but those musics, they're, yeah, if we were listening to them as kids, they raised us in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? Again, that's the responsibility of music. I think what you do listen to defines a lot of your character. And if we're listening to a lot of garbage, whether you want it or not, sometimes that garbage just gets in there, you know? So I'm very mindful of the music that I listen to. And when I listened as a kid to the U2s of the world, Santana, Bob Marley, you know, there was certain things that they said that, you know, it helps you become who you are.
I went to Jamaica, and that was when I understood like reggae music. Like, it was like, I loved grunge, but when I went to Seattle and listened to grunge in Seattle, it made sense to me. And when I went to Jamaica and listened to reggae music, I was like, okay, now it really makes sense to me. Like, sometimes the origin of the music helps you kind of understand the voice of it and where it comes from.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's what I meant when I said lifestyle music. You know what I mean? Same thing. I think if we can play, it's, POD can play in Boston, we can still have a great time, but come to San Diego, you know what I mean? That's a party.
Well, that's what I have to do. That's on my list. I got to see POD on a hometown show.
Yeah. Then now you're looking around. Again, going back to what we said before, you see all the generations and you're like, yeah, because it's a pride thing. It's like, these are my boys. You know, these are San Diego boys right here.
You brought up Ozfest earlier, and I think for this new generation of POD fans or just rock fans in general, it's almost impossible to describe the Ozfest and what it did for rock and what the experience was of going to one to a younger audience of rock fans that never got a chance to experience it. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's... Before then, we didn't. Now we have great festivals everywhere now. But before, it was rare. So when Ozfest was this traveling circus, that was rare. You know what I mean? Before, it was just like we would hear stories like, "Oh, Woodstock was the best ever. They had every band that I loved all in one place." So we would just hear stories like that. We'd never experienced that. But when you had Ozfest, it was like, no, this circus is coming to, you know, it's Woodstock coming to my city, you know? And so it was amazing. You know, now it's common now, right? Now they're doing the 3-day, 4-day festivals, and those are beautiful things. But for when Ozfest was there, it was happening. That was fresh and new, you know? I mean, obviously it was a more of a metal crowd, but you got to experience all of these bands all at once. And it was mind blowing.
And so many bands launched out of there, graduated from the second stage to becoming main stage bands and headlining their own tours. It just, you go back and look at the bands that exploded out of Ozfest. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. You think, to me, the biggest band you think was Slipknot. You're like, Slipknot was there. Remember when they were on the side stage, you know, and it's like Slipknot, they could play stadiums all around the world now. You know, it's like, dude, and they might contribute all the way back to, man, Ozfest was, that was our big, big break. It was everybody's big break. If you were, it's almost like, you know, it's kind of like the streets. It's like Ozzy himself and Sharon, they vouched for you. You know, they vouched for your band. And if they saw your name on that, you know, that list, it was like, okay, now all metal fans around the world can say, I'm going to check out that band, or they're worth listening to now because Ozzy and Sharon said that they're good enough to be on Ozfest, you know?
That second stage at the Massachusetts shows, they always put it in the woods. Do you remember that? I remember when Slipknot was on the second stage, and I'm watching the show, and I turn around, and all of these metal fans were in the trees. And they're jumping out of the trees from 20 and 30 feet up, and then Sid's climbing the trees. And there was just these guys with pipes and kegs and masks, and everybody was like, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah. See, that's what I miss. I miss being blown away like that. Where it's like, okay, there's only one Slipknot, you know what I mean? To me, like, there's only one Korn. To me, I say there's only one POD, one Deftones, one Rage, and it's like, okay, these guys are doing their thing, and it was, I love that. And I want all these new bands. It's like, you can take all these bands that you love and let that be 50% of your influence, you know what I mean? What you put into it, like, okay, I could take all these beautiful things, but I still have to be, I have 51% of me, 49% of them, right? Like, still be who you are, because we want to know who you are. I already know who Slipknot is, you know, I already know who Korn is, Limp Bizkit, all these guys. I want these new bands to be themselves.
You got a new album coming out on May 3rd called Veritas. After all these years, has the process of making a POD album changed at all?
I mean, we're old school, you know. We fought the system for so long, you know, with having outside writers, having all this stuff, you know. We're you know, nowadays these bands, they all live in different states and countries, and they communicate this way. And so for us, you know, we can't do that. We've always sat in a room. You know, all four of us get together and we look at each other in the face and we write music. But that was different with COVID. You know, all of a sudden you're getting the call during COVID. Everybody's writing records. You guys got to start writing. And at the time, Trey, our bass player, he had just moved out to Nashville. And so it wasn't us sitting down together like we have all these years. You know, we were having internal kind of struggles and drama. So I don't think, even at COVID, I think we were ready for a break. I don't think we all wanted to sit in the room together and look at each other and write, you know, but at some point we had to. And so Marcos and I, we would take day trips maybe once a month and go up to LA. The Heavy, who did our last record, Circles, you know, they're a younger group. They're very used to working with alternative acts and pop acts and stuff. And so, and now with technology and everything, it's completely different, you know? So we would go up to LA with, you know, with a couple guitar riffs and maybe a vocal idea. And now you can just lay it down on the computer. You can add, you can build your drums now, you know what I mean? Just to keep the backbeat and to keep a tempo, quick little bass line. And you have really, at that point, you can have 70%, 75% of your song, you know? So we just started that way. And we had to recognize that, you know, there was our guy, we weren't all together anymore. And so we did have to learn how to let these guys as producers come in and say, hey man, I like that, or I don't like that. normally it's like, don't tell me what you don't like, just tell me what you like, you know. But growing and maturing, you know, it's like, okay, well, we need some more opinions on what we're doing. And it ended up working out just amazingly. And it could be, I said this before, it could be one of the best records we've ever written. And I'm super excited for people to hear the whole thing.
It's so crazy how many times it comes up on the show that a member of a rock band is in Nashville now. It's like this rock and metal invasion of Nashville. It's like somebody let one of us in and they just kicked the door open, or we're like, this isn't country music anymore. This is rock and metal now.
It's not country and just country anymore. It's everything. Or it just used to be LA, you know what I mean? But now it's like, everybody hates California. Nobody can afford to live in California. So it's like, I'm going to Nashville. Everybody's in Nashville now. It's crazy.
And, you know, when you were talking about the punk rock lifestyle and different voices, the craziest example of that on this record is collaborating with Tatiana from Ginger, right? Like, talk about totally different upbringings and mindsets and lifestyles and whatever, and especially with what's going on in Ukraine.
And
then for her to bring all of that, it would be almost considered an unlikely collaboration, but when you tear it down to brass tacks, it's not.
It's not. It really is a kind of a beautiful unity, you know. A quick story. When we, in 2019, we were on tour in Europe and, you know, selling out shows over there. It was so great to be back to Europe. And I think we went to the night before the same venue, I think it was OTEP, and we had heard about Ginger, but Ginger was like 2 out of 4 on the bill. But we were like, we got to see Ginger. We're hearing all these amazing things. And we watched them and we were blown away. Right. So they're always in the back of our, she was always in the back of our mind, like, this chick is badass. Right. And then, as things would have it, you know, we met Alex a while ago. Alex is her husband. He played with Suicide Silence. And when we were having, you know, just internal stuff and we needed a fill-in drummer, Alex was like, dude, well, I'll come hang out with you guys. And Tatiana came along. And then all of a sudden, you know, she's telling us the Ukraine loves POD. And I've grown up listening to POD all my life. And we're just blown away, you know, just humbled. And immediately, just immediate family, you know. And so as we're doing this back and forth LA process, like I was saying, we had this song and it says, you know, we're not afraid to die. There's this huge gang vocal and it's like, no, we need a female vocal in there. And with Tatiana, like you said, everything just fit. At the time was still kind of like everything was just happening with Ukraine. And it was like, you know what, this is a powerful voice, you know. And it's just saying, it has the phrase, we're not afraid to die, but it's really about, we're not afraid to live. And it's about fighting and pushing forward to live. And so we asked her just as a friend, like, hey, would you want to get down on the song? And she heard it. She's like, of course, you know? So here she comes to the studio and lays down her part. And it was a beautiful thing. And we've always felt united since then, you know, it's just their family and our family. And then we went on tour with Ginger and yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
One of the things that's totally changed, and I've been kind of sitting behind a microphone watching it all happen since POD broke, since I got on the air back in, you know, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, women's role in rock and metal has changed. And this generation of women in rock and metal right now is what women me have been waiting for all these years.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I guess looking at it from your point of view, yeah, okay, obviously there's more men, but to me, I still think of like the Blondies of the world, you know what I mean? And I still think of the Janis Joplin, but I get what you're saying. It's not an even ratio, but I guess I never really thought of it that much as so much as how amazing these women are and were, and then to watch, you know, up to the Gwen Stefani's, which I just seen a couple weeks ago play, you know what I mean? But now in metal, to be in metal is a whole nother world, because you can listen to these records and just automatically assume that it's a dude, right? When you hear the screams and stuff. And then when you see the video, you're like, oh, I got to dive deep on this band. You're like, oh my gosh, that's a little 5'2", 115-pound girl, you know, woman, you know, it's like, this is amazing. To me, it's even better now because it's like, oh my gosh, because of who it's coming from, you expect it from some big old 6'5", you know, 250 pounds of muscle Viking to do it, you know, but you see this little lady doing, you're like, oh, that's even cooler, man.
Well, it was like when I started on the air, like every station needed one female DJ. And once they had one, they were like, okay, we got one. And like, you know, when Amy Lee and Evanescence broke on the scene, it was like, okay, well, we play Evanescence, so we don't need other girl bands, quote unquote.
Oh, gosh.
And now all of a sudden it's like, the ladies are bringing it right now.
Yeah. I think they've always brought it. Yeah. I think it's just now we're living in a time and place, like you said, where
there's
a little bit more attention to pay. Yeah. They're breaking through the door.
They're not taking no for an answer anymore.
Yeah. You're going to pay attention now. Yeah. That's cool. I love it. Bring it on.
You guys are going out on the road with Bad Wolves, Norma Jean, and Blind Channel. The closest you're going to get to me on this run is May 18th at Foxwoods. So I can't wait to see you guys.
Oh, awesome. Sweet. That'll be great.
Is there more touring that's going to get announced later this year? I'm assuming with a new album comes more tour dates.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll be coming to Boston.
Most definitely. I know we literally returned from that tour to home for a few days, and we turn right around and do a whole month in Europe doing all the festivals and headline shows. We'll come back and then already fly out dates. It's gonna, with the new record comes 2 years of touring, you know, but we're ready. COVID was such a drag, you know.
Yeah, you were home.
So now that everything's kind of catching up. Yeah. Now that everything's catching up again, it's beautiful that people are out and about and want to see rock shows again.
Was it harder for you being home or harder for your family to have you around all the time during COVID? Because a lot of the bands were like, the family gets so used to us being gone that like they were like, when are you going to get out of here? We're sick of having you around.
Yeah. No, my lucky for me, I got the best family ever. And because we tour so much, it was a great thing. You know, when they told us, hey, tours are canceled, you guys have to go home or stay home for 2 months. That was a relief for me. You know, I was like, I can't believe I get to be home this long, you know? So it was amazing. It just, after I just kept going and laughing way too long, then I was like, wait a minute, this is scary. This is how we make our living, you know? And this is scary. So I'm just glad that things are kind of, you know, they're getting back to normal.
It's nice for all of the rock and metal fans around the country to be able to get back together and go to live shows, because for all us, that's what we missed, was getting in the room with all the freaks that are just like us and listening to great music.
And I guess we realize it, but now you just appreciate that even more. And as much as I was on a love-hate relationship with touring and being gone, this is over 30 years of doing this. You know what I mean? Like, these aren't fans. It's like, we're friends, we're family all over the world. And so we know each other, you know what I mean? We really do. And especially the ones that are close to you and not being able to see them or knowing if they were okay or what's going on. This is our time to get together. And I need to quote Elias from Nonpoint. He said one thing a long time ago. We got stuck in the middle of nowhere in Texas on like a side of a road, and it was Thanksgiving and we're all missing home and stuff, but we made the best of it. We found a 99-cent store. We got all this microwavable food, and you know, we're all sitting around this little campfire in a parking, you know, this abandoned hotel. And, you know, everybody had their drinks and he cheered. And he said, so one thing I love about my rock and roll metal family, he said, is that we see each other from time to time. We pass, you know, and we don't always get to see each other and spend the quality time we want. He said, but when we do, he said, it feels like we're picking up right where we left off and we've never left each other. And that's the same thing with rock shows. And you feel like, man, even though COVID happened, the first time we got to play again, it was just, it's so familiar, you know, it's like, man, this is where we belong together, you know? And so it's amazing.
I call it the land of misfit toys, that we all are completely different. But when we're in that show together, we're all the same.
Yeah.
And we miss that.
Of course. And that's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how the world should be.
That's right.
Be yourself 100%. But when we come together, we're all the same.
When did rock and metal become the common sense voice of humanity? When did that happen?
But it's like, it's such a stereotype, you know what I mean, of this of metal. But it's only the people on the inside that know, like, no, man, it's not. It's like the picture you guys have painted, you know? It's like, it's a beautiful thing when we're together.
I know. If everybody else in the world were just like metalheads, the world would be fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
That would be fine.
I agree.
The new album, Veritas, is coming out on May 3rd. I can't wait to see you guys. Sonny, it was so good to see you. I look at you guys as one of those bands that, like, I don't have to see you all the time, but we have crossed paths so many times through our careers over the years that when I see you again, it's like I saw you yesterday.
Same here, 100%. So good to see you.
You too. I'll see you soon. Tell the guys I said hi.
Okay. I will. We'll see you, sweetheart.
There he is, Sonny Sandoval from POD, the band's new album, Veritas, out this Friday, May 3rd. You can also catch him on the road with Mudvayne on May 18th at Foxwoods. Now, if you're looking for POD, just check the show notes. All of Sonny's links and all of the POD links are there. The Mistress Carrie links are there. The link to get tickets to see him at Foxwoods and the link to this episode's corresponding playlist. I make a playlist for every full-length episode of the Mistress Carrie podcast that features all of my guest music and all the artists and songs that we referenced in the interview. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to the Mistress Carrie podcast. New full-length episodes come out every Wednesday. Plus, every weekday, you get the Sit Rep, all of your rock news, music headlines, and entertainment updates in about 5 minutes. And you never know when we're going to release a bonus episode, like we did last week featuring Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue. Join me live every Tuesday night on my official YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch for my weekly video show, Cocktails in the War Room. And you can always find me on the radio. Get the details on all of that and more at MistressCarrie.com. The Mistress Carrie Podcast, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.